Greetings, dear listeners. Josh Haston here, July 25th, 2016, broadcasting from Jerusalem. This is Israel Uncensored on the Land of Israel Network here at thelandofisrael.com. Thanks so much for joining us. Get in touch with me during the week. My email, josh@thelandofisrael.com. On Facebook, it's Josh Haston, H-A-S-T-E-N, and on Twitter, @JewofZion. Big shout out to my man, Benjamin Bresky, engineer extraordinaire. And we got a great show for you here today. In just a few minutes, we're going to be speaking to the co-chairman of Republicans Overseas in Israel. He's also the vice president of Republicans Overseas International, Mark Zell. He is back in Israel after spending the week in Cleveland at the Republican National Convention. I want to get his take on everything he heard from Donald Trump, Mike Pence, who is a good friend, and we'll get to Mike Pence in just a minute, Governor Pence of Indiana. I'd like to get Mark Zell's take on everything he heard. If I'm not mistaken, I believe that Mark was very skeptical about Donald Trump when he won the nomination, defeated another 15 candidates for the Republican nomination. But now, if I am accurate, I believe that Mark Zell is a believer in Trump-Pence 2016. We'll get to him in just a minute. But speaking of Governor Mike Pence, on December 31st, 2014, I had the privilege and honor of interviewing the governor in Jerusalem. Did a radio interview with him, and I'm going to air that interview. It's about 9 minutes or so. I'm going to play that interview now just so you can get a sense of the governor's commitment and love of the state of Israel. Whatever you think about Donald Trump, regardless of that, Mike Pence is a true friend of Israel. I have no doubt in my mind. I think he can possibly become, if he becomes the vice president, the most pro-Israel vice president, certainly, of all time. I think even at this point, being a governor, a former congressman, he arguably could be one of the most pro-Israel politicians, any party, on any level, ever. He's a God-fearing, religious Christian who believes that if you bless the Jews, you are to be blessed. Those who curse the Jews are cursed. He's just a wonderful person, and I know him personally over the years. You know, Governor Pence, you know when people talk about celebrating the holidays and celebrating Hanukkah or Christians celebrating Christmas, you know what Mike Pence celebrates? He celebrates Yom HaAtzmaut, Israel Independence Day. And I know this for a fact. That's what he celebrates. He loves the state of Israel. He believes that Israel and America are true allies and should continue to be allies with the same core values between the peoples of both countries. And I just wish him all the success and only good things for many years to come for him and his entire family. I hope things work out in November for Governor Mike Pence. Again, here he is from December 2014 here in Jerusalem, my interview with Governor Pence.
Here in studio, all the way from Indianapolis, Indiana. Indiana, of course, the best state in the union, and I'm just a little bit biased, as everyone knows here, but I want to welcome you to Voice of Israel. Welcome to Jerusalem. Welcome to Israel, Governor.
Thank you, Josh. It is wonderful to see you. Wonderful to be on Voice of Israel, and we have had an extraordinary week here in the Holy Land, and it's a real joy to bring it to a close, sitting here across the table from you, wearing that Indianapolis Colts hat.
Yeah, that's definitely an item on the agenda. I definitely want to get to that, but I want to make you feel at home just a bit here. Check this out. I know he's not going to sing it again this year.
I
wanted a little piece of Indiana here last few days in Israel. Tell us if you can. You like that, huh?
You're making me homesick.
Yeah. Well, you'll be back soon enough, and hopefully you'll be back, you know, even sooner. But the purpose of your trip to Israel at this time, if you can, and maybe some of the highlights. I know it was a jam-packed schedule, a jam-packed week.
You bet. Well, look, we've known each other for quite a while. And I'm here really for two reasons. First, I'm here because I support Israel, like millions of people in Indiana and the overwhelming majority of the American people. I strongly support the relationship between our country and the state of Israel. And the opportunity to be here to express that support is a real privilege for me as governor of Indiana. But I'm also here to talk about the advantages of doing business in the state of Indiana. As you know, Josh, and you're a proud Hoosier, and we're proud of you and your career. But
thank you.
The state of Indiana has been recognized over the last several years as simply the best place in the Midwest to start a business, grow a business, get a job. You can look at CEO Magazine. You could look at any number of the Tax Foundation's ratings in Washington, D.C. We really are a state that works. We've demonstrated that you can balance budgets, you can have strong reserves, you can increase funding for education, for infrastructure, and still, as we did last year, pass the largest state tax cut in Indiana history. We are one of the top 10 states in virtually every rating category, and a big part of my message to Israeli business leaders earlier today in Tel Aviv and to government officials here is I think the similarities between the economy and the work ethic and the experiences in everything from agriculture to manufacturing in Indiana match up very well to the people and the economy of the state of Israel. And I'm anxious to build those ties in ways that will create jobs in my state, create opportunities here in Israel, and of course, strengthen the ties that bind our people.
I'm really glad you got to see that this week. And I especially like the comments you made with Prime Minister Netanyahu when you said, from the heart of the heartland, the bond between Israel and America has never been stronger. From the heart of the heartland. Can you expand on that? I like that very, very much.
Well, I really believe that. I was asked a couple of different times about the support for Israel in the United States. And I said, you know, despite the pronouncements from individuals in any particular administration, I truly do believe that in these challenging times for the state of Israel, that the support among the American people for the state of Israel has never been stronger. I mean, look, we look on 51 days of war in this country.
Yes.
We look at the rise of a terrorist army in Syria. We look at the threat and the nuclear ambitions of Iran. And I think the American people understand the challenges that the people of Israel are facing and the importance of our relationship. And as I said yesterday in speeches in Tel Aviv, morning, noon, and night, I said, when it comes to the United States of America, if the world knows nothing else, let it know this. America stands with Israel, and I believe we always will.
We certainly do appreciate that here very, very much. And I meant what I said the other night at dinner. You were pressured. The room was pressuring you to talk about 2016. And I don't think people were very happy with my comments when I said, you should do what's best for you. You should do what's best for your family, for the Pence family. I know your children are here with you. Your wife is here with you. You have to do what's best for you. What are your thoughts, though, right now? What are your thoughts? Of course, I'm not the one putting pressure on you. I made that very clear, and I'll stick to that.
Well, thank you, Josh. And, you know, I'm just a small town guy from southern Indiana. I grew up with a cornfield in my backyard. So, you know, any time that I'm mentioned for the highest office in the land, I'm always very flattered by that, and I'm very humbled. But, you know, my focus is Indiana. After we return in just a few days, we're going to roll our sleeves up and focus on what will be a long session of the Indiana General Assembly. It's a session where we pass our budget, but it's also a session where I'm focused on expanding education, innovation in Indiana. We're going to be the first state in America to make career and vocational education a priority in every high school in our state. We're going to expand the largest school voucher program in America to create opportunities for even more kids from pre-K education on through high school. And so I always tell people I'm humbled to be mentioned, but I'm going to focus on the future of the people of Indiana. We'll let my future take care of itself.
Fair enough. I was going to say, if you wanted to announce on the program, we'd go ahead and let you do that.
Well,
again, I meant when I said I'm not going to pressure you, but yeah. I know your time is short. I want to talk about one last thing, and that is the battle of I-74, if I can. And, of course, I'm talking about this Sunday's football game between the Indianapolis Colts and the Cincinnati Bengals. And
I just confirmed plans to be there.
You'll be at the game.
Oh, gosh. Okay. We'll be back
in time. I just wanted to make sure because, you know, we have to have bragging rights. It's only 2 hours. It's closer from Indianapolis to Cincinnati than it is from Jerusalem to the Lake of Galilee. That's how close our cities are. And we do have a battle, 8 p.m. Israel time this Sunday, 1 p.m. Your time. Tell us, what do you think? What are the chances for the Colts here this Sunday?
Well, I like our chances, although I'll tell you what, the Cincinnati Bengals have been playing tough this year, and it's going to be a big game. But I'll tell you what, we've missed maybe two games all year long at home, and what I can tell you is that when we show up on both sides of the ball, the Colts can beat anybody in this league, and we've proven that this year. So stay tuned. Andrew Luck is the real deal. We got a great defense. If our guys are healthy, I have no doubt in my mind we'll be moving on in the playoffs after Sunday.
I definitely hope so, but back to the reason you're here. I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, number one, for coming in today on your busy schedule, for doing the interview, number two, your unwavering support for the state of Israel. And I've seen this throughout your career as a congressman, even before it, when you were running that very first time for Congress. I saw it then, and I see it now, and I can only say from the bottom of my heart and from all the people here at Voice of Israel and from all the people in Jerusalem and in the entire country, we cannot thank you enough. We truly, truly appreciate the friendship that we have with you, Governor Pence. I hope you enjoy the rest of your time here. Have a safe trip back to Indiana. Go Colts, and only good things for you and your entire family. Happy New Year, by the way.
Yeah.
That's tonight. Here you don't feel it as much, but still want to wish you a happy new year,
thank you
and your entire family and all the people of Indiana.
And to you. And thank you so much, Josh, and the Voice of Israel. We appreciate your friendship and the chance to be here in Israel, not only with my wife for our third trip, but we brought all three of our children, who you've met.
Yes.
Who are college age. And I will tell you that as we head to the airport, in the next few days and head back to the Hoosier State and send the kids back to college. I know this is going to be a memory that they will cherish every day of the rest of their lives. There's no place like the Holy Land, and it's been a privilege to be here.
Well, may God bless you and your entire family and only good things for many years to come.
Thanks, Josh.
Thank you so much.
God bless you.
Josh Haston here, host of Israel Uncensored on the Land of Israel Network. At thelandofisrael.com. You know, we are in the process of building our brand new world headquarters located in Gush Etzion, and we want you to partner in this very important project, bringing the Jews home to the land of Israel, building the land, establishing the land, planting in the land. So go to the website, thelandofisrael.com, and click on donate to get involved in this important project, building our new headquarters. Get involved today in this Cause Match campaign. Be a part of the future of the Jewish people here in the land of Israel. And that was my interview with Governor Mike Pence, December 31st, 2014, here in Jerusalem. It was truly an honor to speak to the governor at that time. And you can hear just by his comments how pro-Israel he really is, how he values Israel's relationship with the United States, and how he's a true friend of the state of Israel from the bottom of his heart. And on that note, we're going to change gears here. We're going to go to the phone. Mark Zell is the co-chairman, Republicans Overseas in Israel, also the vice president of Republicans Overseas International. And he just returned to Israel back home from Cleveland. He was at the Republican National Convention. I want to get his take and his thoughts on what went down in Cleveland. Mark, welcome to Israel Uncensored here on the landofisrael.com network on thelandofisrael.com.
Great to be with you, Josh. And I want to say I was the one that organized Governor Pence's town meeting with standing room only crowd in Jerusalem in 2014, where you mentioned. It was my first encounter with him. He was remarkable, and I'm just delighted that he's our vice presidential candidate.
Being a Hoosier myself from Indiana and getting to know the governor over the years as a congressman, I actually met him for the first time when he was running for Congress for his first term. I know he's truly a friend, and I cannot be any happier than I am for Donald Trump to make that choice of Mike Pence as his vice president running mate. Give us, if you can, Mark, tell us your reflections after spending a week there in Cleveland at the Republican National Convention. How was it?
Well, it was almost 2 weeks, as I arrived a week before the convention itself actually opened to work on the amendment to the Republican platform about Israel, where the Republicans departed from 25 years of precedent and adopted an extremely pro-Israel plank to their platform unanimously and to a standing ovation, I might add. And then after that, I went to the, of course, I attended the convention as a non-voting delegate for Republicans overseas. And I can tell you it was a very interesting experience. There were a couple of hiccups, but by and large, it was very inspirational, very energizing, and I think almost everybody came out of there raring to go for the November general.
It's ironic to me that the Republicans, as you mentioned, issued their most pro-Israel declaration perhaps ever, yet you have Jewish organizations that came out against the Republican statement from the convention. Your reflections on that bizarre turn of events?
Well, that's not so bizarre. We anticipated this. A similar proposal was submitted in 2012 when Romney ran against Obama. And the Jewish organizations you mentioned succeeded in torpedoing it. So and they did so basically playing on the naivete of the delegates who, when they heard the name of one certain organization in particular, figured that whatever they say must be gospel, and they had to go with that. One of the things we had to do this time was to kind of shore up the delegates and the platform committee and make them understand that while we have high regard for the organization in question, they're wrong on this one, and they just wanted basically the two parties to have an almost identical plank so they could claim, you know, a bipartisan consensus. Well, there is a bipartisan consensus about Israel. The Republican Party in that consensus is just the more enthusiastic and reliable partner.
Why do you think that? And again, this is based on an article I read over the weekend, a poll in the Jerusalem Post. I don't remember who conducted the poll, but why is the issue of Israel only the fourth or fifth priority for American Jewry? And specifically, when you're talking about the Democrats, they list a whole bunch of other issues before Israel, and it's so low on the totem pole, and that's, you know, extremely disappointing for me living here in Israel. Why do you think that is so low on that list?
Well, I mean, first of all, let's put it in proper perspective. I think it's actually worse than you portrayed it. Something like less than one-third of American Jews would put Israel in their top 10 issues in terms of influencing their vote in the general election for president. And, I mean, that is both astounding and deeply troubling. And the reason for it is, in my view, is that American Jews get confused by the fact that there are a whole host of other issues that they feel are important across the board. A lot of them are very liberal, left-wing issues, which is okay, but at a time when the state of Israel is increasingly isolated in the international community, when anti-Semitism is on the rise, when terror is striking at the hearts of cities all over the world, of Europe, the United States, and of course almost on a regular basis here in Israel, one would think that the Jewish people would rise and join hands to support the Jewish state and to support the Jewish people. But that's not the way they do things. That's not the way they think. A lot of them are actually participating in BDS, as you know, this anti-Israel boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement against Israel. I mean, these are Jews on college campuses are leading this movement in a lot of cases. Now, what happens, Josh, is very interesting. When these same Jews make a decision to come to live in Israel like you and I have, mm-hmm. Something very different happens. All of a sudden, they begin to see the United States and the issues, the key issues of the day, in a very different, light from a Jewish perspective. And then the voting trends go almost opposite, almost 80% of American Jews in recent election cycles living in Israel are voting for the Republican candidate. So and so your question is an excellent one. It's the same one that really dozens of Republican delegates to the convention were asking me. I mean, they truly love Israel, but they're also truly baffled by this discrepancy in the Jewish vote.
Yeah, I mean, I believe it comes down to this whole concept of Tikkun Olam, which I think has been hijacked by the Jews, the liberals on the Democratic side, who have this notion of what Tikkun Olam, what they think it is. But in reality, the Republican Party, in my opinion, definitely reflects more of the traditional Judeo-Christian values and biblical values that are part of our religion and our belief system. I think it's been hijacked, and that, you know, that's what I think about it.
That's an interesting point. Volumes have been written about this this issue. I just want to tell you an answer I gave to one of the Christian delegates who herself was, you know, a faith-based evangelical Christian. I explained to her, you know, referring to the interpretation of in the book of Exodus by Rashi, one of our commentators from the Middle Ages, who indicated when the Jews at the time of the Exodus of Egypt went out, they went out chamushim. You know this this commentary. And one interpretation is they went out armed with weapons that they got from the Egyptians. The other is they went out one-fifth of the Jews left Egypt, and 80% stayed behind. And I told her, I said, you know, when it comes to the Jews protecting their own interests, this phenomenon that we're observing now, this 80-20 phenomenon, has been with us since the very beginning of the Jewish people. And so therefore, I'm not particularly surprised by it. We oftentimes simply don't act in our own best interests, and we get confused. Like you say, we may be confused about Tikkun Olam, or we may be confused about the values of the Republican Party, or the fact that Christians are supporting the Republican Party that makes a lot of American Jews who have a problem with their own identity uncomfortable. That's kind of the way we look at it in the party. They just can't bring themselves to pull the lever for the Republicans, who are supported by millions and millions of really religious Christians who believe in the state of Israel and other things, and they can't see themselves having a common heritage, a common goal or program with the Republican base. And that's unfortunate, because other ethnic groups coming to the United States have made that leap and able to split their votes, at least between the parties. The Jews and the African Americans have not been able to do that yet.
Yeah, it's a 3,000 plus year old phenomenon, which I still don't understand from biblical times up until today. But I want to switch gears here and talk about Donald Trump. I want to talk about Trump.
Great.
Because, correct me if I don't have this correctly, if I misspeak. From what I saw on Facebook, your own postings on Facebook, correct me again if I'm wrong. From what I understand, you were not a supporter or a fan of Donald Trump to begin with, but now you have changed. Correct me if I'm wrong,
correct.
And then talk
That's
about
absolutely
Donald Trump.
Correct. That's absolutely correct. I supported Marco Rubio during the primary campaigns, and I also spoke out quite strongly against the Trump candidacy. But I've changed my mind. That
okay,
is
why?
Also true. And the reason is, well, there are a couple reasons. First, he was elected, Donald Trump was elected fair and square by the largest number of voters in a primary season in a Republican primary in the history of the United States. And I, you know, you can't 100% with the choice of the people. That's the first thing. Now, when that choice became clear, I offered to resign my positions both in the in Republicans Overseas Israel and Republicans Overseas Internationally. And but in both cases, the executive boards refused to accept my resignation. And therefore, I needed to come to grips with the Trump candidacy. Now, this is something like, Josh, what you go through when you're in a mourning process. Okay, you know, first you start with anger, and then you start with denial, and then you get to depression, and eventually you get to acceptance. And that's sort of what happened with me. And as I got to acceptance and I began to look more carefully at what was going on and began to really interface with the Trump campaign, I realized not only didn't I not have a problem in voting for him and supporting him, but I could do so enthusiastically. And I'll tell you why that is. And this is basically the same reasons that Senator Jim Inhofe from Oklahoma gave at a breakfast meeting that I attended in Cleveland on Thursday, just before he came back to Israel. And he also, as it turns out, was a Rubio supporter. And he's a strong social conservative and a strong lover and supporter of the state of Israel, as you know. And in any case, he explained that in the last few weeks he's had occasion to meet with Donald Trump on at least two occasions. And he told me, and he told the assembled crowd there, that he was extremely impressed by him for a couple reasons. First, Trump had done his homework. He knew who Inhofe was. He knew where his background was, what issues were important to him, and what committee positions he has in the Senate, which surprised Inhofe, to quote him. And secondly, most importantly, Trump listened, said Senator Inhofe. He listened to everything he had to say. He asked penetrating and relevant questions. And Inhofe came away from the meeting and said, this guy really does have a kind of a much different temperament than what we've been exposed to on the campaign trail thus far. So that's one of the things. The other thing is what I mentioned earlier, Josh. You know, we could not have gotten this pro-Israel plank passed at the Republican National Committee and later at the convention were it not for the active involvement of Donald Trump and his pro-Israel advisors. Mm-hmm. And this, of course, showed me where his head was on the issue that's of paramount importance to me. That's why I'm active in American politics, even though I live here in Israel. And when I saw that, that was something that really made a strong impression. Finally, you've got a couple other points. I mean, Trump has been one of the most outspoken advocates of rolling back the Iran-U.S. nuclear deal, which right. for Israelis is an existential issue of the first order, from all political streams here in Israel, which is quite unusual. And the other thing that Trump has called for is a war on terror. The Obama administration, Hillary, and the Democrats tried to downgrade the struggle against terror for the last 8 years, and look what we've got. I mean, almost every other day, another Islamic extremist is blowing himself up or murdering innocent people all over the globe, in the United States, in Europe, and, you know, we know what they do here in Israel, or they try to do anyway. So I can say for all these reasons, the will of the people, the Trump support of Israel, his realistic approach to problem solving and corporate management behind the scenes, and his policy positions on issues that are of key importance to those of us living abroad. For all these reasons, I decide I'm going for this guy. You can't see it, but right behind me is a Trump-Pence banner that they handed out at the convention, and I got a button I wear around too. This is the guy that we need to vote for. He's not perfect, but compared to the Democratic candidates, one of whom both of whom are supported by J Street, and one of whom, the presidential candidate, has got serious personality problems, you know, in terms of her prevarication, her corruption, influence peddling, and finally just her incompetence. I mean, she talks about having a lot of experience, which she does have, but she's also made just a whole list of catastrophic judgment errors. So she has experience and bad judgment. So that combination, all those things together make it very clear to me that someone that cares about the issues that we care about, Josh, that wants America to regain its position in the world and to revitalize the U.S.-Israeli alliance, among other things, there's only one choice in this election, I've got to tell you, and that's for Donald Trump and Mike Pence.
Yeah, you definitely don't have to convince me that that he's the choice. Certainly anybody but Hillary. A lot of people are adapting that mantra, but I'm glad you clarified why you changed your mind and why now you're supporting that camp. For me personally, the second Governor Pence was nominated, not that I would ever consider in a million years voting for Hillary, but on a personal level, and because I know the record of Governor Pence, you know, that for me automatically gave my vote to the Trump-Pence camp. But I should have said that too.
That you're right. Absolutely correct. I mean,
I'm becoming more and more convinced based on the policy statements that
Trump himself is giving, especially as Israel comes into play. But one last question here before we let you go. As we start this week, the Democratic National Convention taking place in Philadelphia, it seems like the Democrats are just a complete mess. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, chairperson or former chairperson now of the DNC, is stepping down. Another email scandal, maybe similar but a little bit different than Hillary Clinton's email scandal. It seems like they're a complete mess over there in the Democratic side. So the ultimate and last question I have for you is, who is going to win in November? You've made your case in terms of who we should be voting for, who you believe is best for Israel and best for the world, really.
Yes.
The Democrats look like a mess. Who do you think is going to win in November, Mark?
Well, look, it's going to be a close election, Josh. I'm not kidding you. We've all been following the polls nationally and in the key swing states. I mean, the Democrats have an advantage in terms of electoral college votes, probably about a 40, maybe even 50-vote advantage. They need to get to 270 to get to the White House. Both parties do. But we've got an election cycle that nobody has seen before, at least certainly in my lifetime. And that means yours too, Josh. And anyway, and what's going on here is that the public is really angry at the political establishment from both parties. I mean, how did a frumpy guy like Bernie Sanders, who's no friend of Israel, you know, get to win as many elections in the primary cycle as he has, and garner this kind of support among young voters? I mean, it's just incredible because the public is angry. And the public is so angry that people like evangelicals and social conservatives generally, who don't have much in common with Donald Trump, quite honestly, with Mike Pence, it's another story. But with Donald Trump, they don't really have the same. They're not on the same page. Nevertheless, they voted for him in large numbers, and the reason is because they're just angry and they want to change. Now,
right.
The Democrats have decided to nominate the most politically, you know, correct establishment type candidates you could imagine. For the reasons I've indicated, I mean, Hillary Clinton is a real problem, and it's going to be a problem for many voters. Therefore, to answer your question in a long-winded preface, I'll tell you, I think we in the Republican Party have a real good shot at winning in November and keeping the Senate. But it's going to be close, and a lot of things can happen between now and then, so we've all got to work hard. We've got to, first of all, regardless of your political persuasion, you've got to register if you're an American abroad or at home. Register to vote. Make sure you can vote so you can take part in this extraordinarily, you know, extraordinary election that's really going to affect the world in every way.
Yeah, I hope you're right, and for Israel's sake, I hope the Republicans pull it off. But for those living in America, I hope for the Americans' sake, I hope the Republicans pull it off, because I think that our core values are so similar that what's best for Israel is also best for America. So I hope you're correct there. Mark Zell.
I'm with you on that, Judge.
Yeah, co-chairman, Republicans Overseas Israel, Vice President, Republicans Overseas International. Just back from Cleveland at the convention and, as he said, at the Republican Committee beforehand. I want to thank you so much for your time today and all your important work that you do on behalf of the Jewish people, on behalf of the land of Israel. I appreciate that so much, and only good things. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, Josh, and have a great week.
Have a great week. Bye-bye. This has been Israel Uncensored on thelandofisrael.com. We are out of time for today. Keep in touch during the week. Send me an email, josh@thelandofisrael.com, on Facebook, it's Josh Haston, and on Twitter, @JewOfZion. Keep those letters coming. I appreciate it. Big shout out to Ben Bresky here in our Jerusalem studio. Most importantly, between now and next week's show, everybody be safe, take care, and all the best from Israel.
This is Eve Harrow, host of Rejuvenation on the Land of Israel Network. My maternal grandparents, Grandpa Morris and Grandma Lily, came to the United States from Russia over 100 years ago. They belonged to the Mizrahi movement way before there was even a state of Israel. The Land of Israel Network is powered by the Mizrahi World Movement.
Do you like picking strawberries or blueberries in the spring and summer? What about grapes? If you were to take an experience like picking grapes and move it to the heartland of Israel, this is when an experience becomes prophetic. Young and old, singles and families are all invited on this adventure of a lifetime. I'm Joshua Waller with Hayuvel, and I invite you to join us on the mountains of Israel, where prophecy meets reality. Go to Hayuvel.com, that's H-A-Y-O-V-E-L.com, for more information.